Sarah is leaving
on Tuesday night, and apparently he said, oh, does anybody know what the vision for the North is? And he said, none of them had any idea. And anyway, when Steve shared that with me, I said, well, how did you know that's what we're talking about today? Because I think it's really important as we start a year that we actually get our heads around just what it is that we're on about. I just want to maybe even tie into that just what a blessing it is for us to send our young people on mission. It's tough sending our young people on mission, but it's a blessing. Now, it's even tougher because Sarah's actually my goddaughter. I don't know if anybody realises that. There you go, Sarah. So, and Jane and I pray for our godchildren every night, and Sarah, we try and name them each time that we pray. And I was just thinking, as we were standing there praying over Sarah and praying with Sarah, that there's something that she takes with her as she goes on mission, just as Catherine did and as Joe did. And Sam has, and then Sean, when Sean was on team, that they actually take something of us with them as they go on mission. Now, last year you might recall around this time that Derek actually gave us green key tags. Do you remember those green tags? You got a blue tag. Mine was green. Right, and yours is still there, and mine are purple, okay, so different coloured ones. And they all had a name of one of the youth mission team members, or at least I think mine had three names actually that I have on mine, and they were all the young people from the North. And we were reminded to pray for them. And the thing that struck me during the gathering this afternoon was somebody mentioned, I can't remember if it was Derek or somebody else, the word connection. And that there is something about a connection that is very powerful. You don't even have to be in the same room to feel connected with someone. We can be connected even though Sarah's, please God, Sarah won't be too far away, but most likely she'll be on the East Coast. There'll be 3,500 kilometres or thereabouts between us, but we will be connected. And we'll all be connected to Sarah because we'll be praying for her. And every time you think about Sarah, and every time you think about Sam, every time you think about the youth mission team, or maybe you might just think about mission in general, you'll be connected. Because you will offer up your thoughts, you'll offer up your prayer, and you'll offer up something of what is love for Sarah and the others who are on the youth mission team. Chris Brennan reminds us about this every week when he carefully places on the back table a picture of every member of the youth mission team from Perth. He places the pictures of each of those young people so that we can stay connected with them while they're on mission. And it leads into what we're talking about today. And that is that we have to have a vision for who we are. And I'm talking, when I say who we are, both in the individual but also in the corporate. You see, we can't hide behind anything that is the Disciples of Jesus Covenant Community. We can't hide behind that. Because you can try. Right, but as soon as you say something to someone that you are a member of Disciples of Jesus, they immediately conjure up a thought. And the thought is around, what is a disciple of Jesus? Now, for some people, they think saint, which, please God, you know, we're all on the journey of. For others, it might mean, for them, when they think of a disciple of Jesus, they might think, oh, a crazy person. Tim and I were having a bit of a chat. I'm not sure if Tim's in the room or if he's out there. But Tim was talking about the fact that he was telling somebody recently that he's joined the Disciples of Jesus community, and they said to him straight away, "Oh, you're one of those crazy, clappy people." And it's actually shaking him a little bit. You see, we can't hide behind our name, because people conjure up an image of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. But for you and me, we actually have to have a vision for what a disciple of Jesus actually is. See, I was reading a little bit about Ash Barty. Now, I don't know that Ash Barty's Christian. I haven't delved enough into her life to find out about that. But what was interesting about Ash Barty is that at the age of 16, she stopped playing tennis. She'd had enough of it. It was too much for her at that time. And so she went home. She'd been on tour for a bit, and it was just too much for her at that stage in her life. The vision for being a professional tennis player was not strong enough in her life to allow her to sacrifice all that she needed to do to be that professional tennis player. She went on and did a few other things, including playing cricket, and playing cricket at the highest level too for Australia. But something kept calling her back to the tennis court. And 3.5 years later, she did that. Now, she struggled, actually, for the first couple of years going back as a professional tennis player. But what she noticed, with good coaching and a good support team around her and a strong vision for who she could be, she actually found that she was making incremental improvements in her own game. So much so that when she was playing in the French Open just in June of last year, she was playing in a semi-final about if she could win that game, she'd be in the first Grand Slam final. She found herself a set down and 3-0 down. She was 3-0 down. She didn't have a game in the second set. So she was really three games away from being ousted out of the French Open in the semi-final. But she said she thought about who she wanted to be. And when she made this decision, sitting on the side of the court, looking like a loser in that particular game, she said something switched. When she came back, she actually won that set 6-3, she didn't lose another game, and then went on to win the final set. She found herself in a Grand Slam final. And then she had to believe, could she become could she become a Grand Slam champion? And she easily won the final. And today is the number one tennis player in the world. But she says she has not reached her pinnacle. Now, I think we've got to ask ourselves, much like Ash Barty, how do we see ourselves? How do we see ourselves as a disciple of Jesus? Do we feel like, for some of us in the room, that the best of us is done and now God just gets the rest? Or maybe for some of us in this room, perhaps we're thinking that being a disciple of Jesus, well, actually, that's a bit too hard, and I just actually want to just walk in the shadow of other people. I don't want to have to do too many things that make me stand out. I'll just sort of follow the crowd, but I don't want to be that person that people actually take note of. Maybe for some of us in the room, maybe we're pretty excited about being a disciple of Jesus, and we're prepared to give up whatever is necessary that we feel will be the calling that Christ has placed on our heart in following him. We don't know, I don't know, where we are on that spectrum of thought or vision that you have for being a disciple of Jesus. But what I do know is that if we don't have a vision for how we want to be, we will actually never get there. We'll never get to, sorry, if we don't have a vision for who we want to be, we'll actually just be who we are. And that's it. But if we have a strong vision for being a disciple of Jesus, whatever that means for you, if it means for you a greater prayer warrior, or if it means for you that you want to be, you know, somebody who can pray with others and see miracles happen, if it means for you that you just want to share the good news of Jesus being alive in the world today, if it means for you that you want to actually take a place in leading a charge that might reach people's hearts and give them an encounter with Christ, whatever that vision is for you, that's going to be really important, because it'll either drive you and sustain you when things get hard, or it might be that you choose that this vision is too far ahead of me, I can't get there. But I want to challenge each one of us. What is the picture in your mind for being a disciple of Jesus? What does it look like? What's going to drive you from just being? Any athlete knows that as soon as they think they've reached their pinnacle, it's pretty much all downhill from there. Have we reached our pinnacle? I don't think that that's actually possible for a true disciple of Jesus. Because I think the pinnacle comes when people can actually say to us, I see Jesus in you. I see him moving in your words, in your actions, in who you are. I see Jesus at work powerfully in you. So our vision is very important. And for us as members of Disciples of Jesus Covenant Community, we try and encapsulate that in our covenant. So if you're not reading the covenant, I'm not sure that you're actually putting in front of you a true vision of who we're meant to be corporately, not just individually. So where is your covenant? Is it in a place where perhaps it's hanging on a wall? Maybe it's on a desk or a table somewhere? Where is it? If it is on the wall, and if it is on the desk or on a table, how often do you actually pick it up and read it? Do you have it on your phone, so that when you go to prayer every day, you're actually starting prayer with the covenant? You see, again, if we're not reminding ourselves of who we are, we're actually never going to get there. So the covenant is vital in reminding us of our corporate vision with regards to who we are in brotherhood and sisterhood. So let's not just have the covenant read when an intake happens. It would be ideal, wouldn't it, if we didn't actually need the words of the covenant on the wall, because we knew it off by heart. Because that is who we want to be. And we're striving for that. Thanks, Rebecca. If we go to the next one. I think implicit in the covenant is this idea that as a disciple of Jesus, we're actually building community. But it's not an ordinary community. I'm fascinated these days because I'm seeing more and more the word community projected in front of me, whether it's on, you know, magazines or newspapers or whatever it might be, of people talking highly about where they live being their community and people wanting to be connected. Isn't it interesting how many times the word community has been used in the recent month, just with all the tragedy that's been occurring on the east coast of Australia and elsewhere, you know, in South Australia as well. You know, where the community is banding together. Have you heard those words? But we're a bit different than just a community that bands together. You see, we're a builder of Christian community. That means that when we build community, not only are we connecting with one another in the human form, we're actually connecting with one another spiritually. Our job individually and corporately is actually to bring Christ into our midst. And the more that we become Christ individually, the more that we can project Christ corporately into our being, into who we are as a people. It's why, as much as it's sad to send Sarah off to mission, we actually send Sarah off with a blessing, because she takes Christ among us and she takes him into her mission.
She'll have her own socks
blessed. She'll have what? She'll have her socks blessed off her. Yes, something like that, right? So, as she goes, she will take Christ who lives with us and in amongst us, she will take him with her on mission. Now we know that Christ doesn't just exist in our midst because we exist. We know that sacramentally Christ exists within us through our baptism, through the sacraments of the church, that Christ lives there. And he lives in and amongst us. But just like any athlete, remember, the athlete has to have a vision, but that athlete needs a support structure to help them achieve that vision. So Sarah goes with a support structure behind her here, as much as she'll have a support structure where she goes. But we need to be committed to that. We actually need to be committed to being that community that spiritually supports one another, not just physically supporting one another. Both are important. And you know, if you've been to Mass this weekend, that the bishops of Australia have asked us, as a faith community, that's a larger faith community of the church, to be praying next week in particular for all that's happened with the bushfires, but also, if people could, to donate money during the collections to be able to support the communities that have been so deeply affected. But I know that no matter what happens in the midst of our community, that we will actually strive to look after each other, and there may be no fanfare around it. Do you know, a simple example is, I was talking to Emma earlier today, and Emma was saying, you know, she's on the roster to provide food for Monica, who has had her first child, Monica Burns, and she's on the food roster, and she can't wait to take her meal so that she can go and meet little Tyler and to support Monica. There's no fanfare around that. It's just what we do. But there needs to be an understanding. We don't just do it. We do this consciously. It's not an unconscious thing that we do, you know, we support each other with food or we get behind one another when people are sick. It's not an unconscious thing. We're consciously doing it because we want to be the face of Christ to one another. We don't want people to feel let down by their brothers and sisters because we haven't met physical needs. The physical and the spiritual have to go hand in hand. And that's been our lived experience for most of us in this room. that when we most need it, people will just be there. They might just send us a text because they're thinking about us. Because what we shared in sharing group has come to their mind, and they've been praying and have just said to us, you know, I'm just thinking about you right now. I'm praying for whatever's going on. And if you need something, just let me know. So the physical and the spiritual are very important in what it means to build community. So we've got to constantly be building community in our midst. So the mission, thanks Rebecca, the mission is to actually live this out authentically. I was reading something from Pope Francis recently where he said that it was around having blind faith. And some people have heard me share about this before, but it was in Christus Vivit. As I've just finished the copy, it's taking me a while to get through it, simply because I haven't made enough time to read it, but just while having a break, I completed the exhortation. And in it, he talks about not having blind faith. He actually wants young people in particular to question faith. He wants them to think about faith. Not just doing, but thinking, why am I doing it? What is this about? What is this achieving? And that our mission is to live authentic Christian community. I think to be authentic, we've got to think about it. We actually have to be conscious about why we're doing what we're doing. And we might have all sorts of reasons for why we are in community. The call, hopefully, you know, there's a call from Christ for us to be in community, but the call being one of the core reasons. But there might be other reasons. People might want to have authentic Christian community so that their kids can be surrounded by good, holy people. There might be other reasons. There might be reasons like, you know, for me at this particular point in my life, I just want to have good folk around me to keep me on the straight and narrow. As I've gotten older, I've actually realised that it's harder to keep your yes. It's harder to sustain energy around your yes. At least my yes, anyway. I'm finding it harder. And so the more I'm around people who have said yes and are committed to yes, the greater chance I think I have of sustaining yes. You might have all sorts of reasons for being in community. But hopefully, part of the reason for being in community is that you want to make a difference in the world in which we live. And we do that like one drop of a waterfall at a time. Little by little, we make a difference. And we make a difference in one person's life here and one person's life there. We make a difference. Spiritually, we make a difference. The fact that we come and gather to pray together every Sunday afternoon makes a difference. It affects the world in which we live spiritually. So how do we authentically... Oh, just before I move on to the next point. I think bringing Christ into the world is inherent in every single one of us. We see it in our baptism. Through the gift, the sacrament of baptism, we're actually made priest, prophet and king. And when we think about those three names, priest, prophet and king, I think this does something inherent in us, in the way that we find meaning in being in community, but also meaning in being part of the wider gift of the church. So in being a priest, this means that we bring Christ into the world. So that's what priests do. They sacramentally bring Christ into the world. But we have to bring Christ in here. Because we're made a priest through our sacramental gift, the sacramental gift of baptism. When we're made a prophet, it means that we speak for God. We speak for Christ. Just like the prophets in the Bible, we are meant to be speaking words that encourage people to know Christ. And then when we become a king, the idea of kingship is that we, as any good king is supposed to do, they're supposed to serve their people. And we're meant to serve one another as Christ asks us to serve. So through our priesthood, through our prophethood, and through our kingship, inherent in us is the ability to build Christian community. It's why I think many people, when they join the community, they utter these words: I feel like I'm home. How many times have you heard those words spoken when somebody joins community? And I think it's because of this incredible gift that we're given at our baptism. To be a part of the kingship, prophetship, and the priesthood that we're entered into at our baptism. So we do this using, I think, building authentic and living authentic community life. We do this in two ways. We do it first through our pastoral care. Thanks, Rebecca. Now, pastoral care is tricky. Because I think pastoral care requires of us to participate. Remember we used at the start of what I've been sharing with you, that it's not about unconscious acts, it's actually about consciously doing things. Pastoral care requires conscious participation. What do I mean by this? Ever been in sharing group and get through a whole sharing group and the name Jesus has never been mentioned? Ever happened to anybody? If the name Jesus actually isn't mentioned in sharing group, or perhaps, do you know, any content around how I want to be a disciple of Jesus, or how I want to grow spiritually, or how I'm trying to love corporately, or any of those things. If we're not actually mentioning how we want to grow in being a disciple of Jesus, we're actually falling short of what the power of sharing group can actually do. You see, sharing group is a safe place for us to actually share how we're going in becoming a disciple of Jesus, according to the vision you have for your life, or according to the covenant that has been presented to us that we have claimed as our own. Sharing group is not a men's shed. I don't know what we call the women's version of men's shed, right? But it's not a shed for us to just talk about how I'm going. Sharing group is about accountability in being a disciple of Jesus. An extension to this is our discipleship. If we're not consciously thinking about discipleship, and I mean from both sides, a discipler, somebody who's discipling someone, or someone who is being discipled, if we're not consciously thinking about how I am going to present myself the next time I meet Underway members, we know every second week. Covenant members, no more than a month. Right? If we're not doing this, if we're not consciously thinking, how am I striving to be who God wants me to be? As a disciple of Jesus, then that could be across all fields of life. How does Christ want me to be a disciple in my family? How does he want them to be a disciple of his as husband or as wife? How does he want them to be a disciple as son or daughter? How does he want me to be a disciple as a sibling in my household? If we're not consciously thinking these things through and using our pastoral care structure, we're actually falling short of what it means to grow in holiness. You see, growing in holiness demands of us a desire to get better, constantly better. That doesn't mean we don't fail, it doesn't mean we don't fall, but it means that we use our pastoral care structure in a manner that actually makes a difference. But if we're not conscious in our participation in our pastoral care, it'll just be going through the motions. Is that what we want to do? Just go through the motions? Sarah, whatever you do, don't just go through the motions. Grow in holiness. Come back holier than what you've left. For each one of us here, Sarah should come back next year, or at the end of the year, and she should find each one of us holier than when she left us. Because we have a structure in place, our pastoral care system, that is helping us strive for holiness. Now we need people, underway members of the community in the room, can I please ask you, commit to formation. Why? Because we need you ready to be at the upper levels of our pastoral care system. We need you to be members of the community who are willing to serve in pastoral care as disciples or sharing group leaders. Your formation program will help you get there. It is not just going through the motions and ticking the box. It is about growing to become a disciple of Jesus. The second arm, or the second way that we're going to grow in holiness, is actually through conscious participation in outreach. Thanks, John, you've done well. In outreach, we have many outreaches. The key here is for each one of us to actually consciously decide, where am I giving myself in outreach? Is that outreach a Life in the Spirit seminar? Do I feel like that is the best place for me to grow in holiness? Is it in a men's or women's event? And there are going to be quite a few of those as we go through this. Is this where I'm being called to serve in outreach? Is it in youth ministry? For those young people in the room, if it's in youth ministry, it is not going through the motions. It is growing as a disciple. Is it through miracle prayers? Is it as simple as cluster meals? Now, I have a vision that we shouldn't just have one cluster meal happening in the north. I think wherever we have clusters of people, we should have cluster meals. They don't have to be every week, but I think they should be regular. So that we've got a place to outreach to. We can invite people to the meals that we're holding in our suburbs or in our local area, wherever that might be. But we've got to be conscious about it. We've got to be thinking through, am I willing to dedicate my gifting, myself, my energy, to be able to bring Christ to others. They can be in corporate events, or they can just be in the household. But if we're not conscious of it, we won't do it. Finally, I want to finish with the platform. And the platform is prayer. This is actually the foundation for everything that we do. I don't think that anybody, I'm going out here and saying this, I don't know that anybody can really grow in holiness if we're not prayerful. I can't see how that can happen. It's like an athlete trying to be the best athlete they can and they don't eat. How's that going to work? So prayer has to be the foundation for our vision, no matter what our vision is as a community. Number one has to be, am I committed to having a strong prayer life? Am I committed to it? Because if we're not committed to having a strong prayer life, a prayer life that gets better and better and better and stronger and stronger, and if we're not committed to that, any of the vision or hopes or dreams that we have of being a disciple of Jesus goes out the window. It's like, you know, when you hear that, you know, you can do so many things in your own strength, but you won't get there. But if you've got God's strength in the midst of it, somehow things seem to happen. So are we individually committed to prayer? Every day. Every day. Because I don't know that we can become a disciple of Him, Jesus, if we're not actually in communion with Him. Let's strive for that. But also, we have some amazing prayerful ways of ensuring that we're drawing into the grace that God gives to us. Of course, our praise and worship is really important. It's actually one of those identifying factors about who we are as a Disciples of Jesus Covenant community, a location of that. When we come to praise and worship, we have to participate. We actually have to enter into praise and worship. And I don't mean that you have to sing loudly. But what I mean is that we have to tap into what is occurring spiritually. I was watching the kids as we were praying with Sarah. Do you know that every single one of the kids sitting on the rug had their hand up? Not a single one of those young people on that rug had their hands down playing with whatever it was in front of them. They connected into the spiritual reality that was present right there. Let's challenge ourselves. Let's enter into the spiritual reality of our praise and worship. Don't be late for praise and worship. You see, if you were late today, you missed out on hearing what Derek shared with us about the posting and the traumatic experience that occurred, which was actually a driving force for our praise and worship. If we're late for praise and worship, we're actually impoverishing the body. We're impoverishing the power that comes from the spiritual reality of brothers and sisters who come to give the whole of themselves. Not the leftovers of themselves. Let's commit to that. But we also have other things that we do prayerfully. We have this idea called the prayer watch. I'm actually going to ask Keith and Rahimi next week if they will share with us And they gave their apologies today because they have family and friends from New Zealand who are leaving today. So that's where they are. But I'm actually going to ask them, along with Michael Carter next week, and maybe Rebecca might throw in a word or two, about some prayerful things we could do as a community over the next year. Now, the Lewises brought to the community the prayer watch. Now, I know that many of us in the room at one stage or another were actually on the prayer watch. But I'm not sure whether we're making that grow stronger and stronger and more powerful by the day. So I'm going to ask them to reconnect with us, the idea and the vision behind the prayer watch. And then there's a novena that Michael's been talking to me about, which I'm just going to ask him maybe to share a little bit about next week. But the other most important aspect of our prayerful situation and experience and reality is the prophetic word. It is actually a gift. It's a gift to members of Disciples of Jesus Covenant Union. Are we breaking open the prophetic word? You see, if we're hoping to grow as disciples of Jesus, we gather here as a body. It's the only time this area of the community actually gets together, all together, to pray. So when we do that, God speaks to us, we know that. But then what do we do with it? We have some people who scour the prophetic word. I'll take my hat off to Jackie and to Annabelle, who are part of the prophet school, and they pour over every single one of the prophetic words when they report back to the branch council. But one of the things I want to encourage each one of us to do is to pour over the prophetic word. If we are going to have a strong vision for being a disciple of Jesus, wouldn't we want to hear and break open, dissect, analyze the words that are given here? We're not saying that every word is from God. We're not saying that. But what I am saying is, how will you know which word is from God for you and for us collectively if we don't study it? So let's study the prophetic word. It's another identifying gift that God gives to us. So just to finish off, I also want to make mention of this. And it's the fact that it is now well and truly over time for us to have an area council in the north. So hopefully over the next week, what I'd like to do is just to confirm with some people, we've got some names from a survey that we did several months back. Just want to confirm with the people who some initial conversations were had with as to whether they would like to commit, because we'll have 3-year membership on the area council. Actually, it's either 2 years or 3 years, the options there for people, to come on board onto an area council, which will meet monthly. And it will help us in the idea of making sure that our pastoral care is operating better and better and better, and that our outreach endeavours are operating better and better and better. And hopefully will give us a determined approach to ensuring that we are growing prayerfully. So over the next couple of weeks, we hope to bring this to fruition, and if we can make it happen next Sunday or the Sunday after, we will commission the area council for us in the world. So if you could hold that up in prayer, that would be really important for us. Might finish there, and maybe we could just add prayers to those who are not here today, and for whatever reason it might be, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless them in their absence, Lord, that they would know that they are as connected to us in their absence as we are in our presence. Lord, help us to think of them, but also to put in action pastoral care where we connect with them, either through a phone call or through a message, particularly if they're in our sharing groups. Lord, that they would know that they have been loved and missed. We want to thank you too, Jesus, for Sam Clare, who's already on the East Coast, readying himself for mission. And we pray for the others from Perth, Mark and Sebastian, who will be on the mission team. But we pray for all the other young people who we don't even know on the youth mission team, that you would bless them in their preparations over the coming year. Bless us too, to grow in what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus. May this prayer of your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.